I love it when you part your hair in the middle. I love it when you like jerk chicken for dinner. I love it because jerk chicken's the winner. I love it when you're a white girl from Savannah and you kind of feel like Kentucky vibes.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Kendrick Lamar
could never.
He isn't.
Whoa.
God bless River. How's that recording career going?
I'm sure that Mary : Sissy Detective will give us an update on that, which reminds me, we're going to, I believe, get an update at the end of this season, right? Or did she do the update last? Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The
see the video, but Poodle's in New York.
If I go away from the mic, there is like a lot of newer hotels, they have these large, heavy metal doors that sound like you are just being, it sounds like you're in a jail. As soon as anyone, and there's a door right next to me, and whoever is there goes in and out maybe 3 times an hour.
Oh.
And I don't really know what they're doing.
I mean, tinfoil Hattie, come to the rescue on that one.
But it's like a slam, slam, and it feels like someone is literally opening my door. So we're doing this on video. So if you see someone behind me come in my door, which would be really frightening, just let me know. Because I'm going to try to ignore whatever sounds were behind me.
I will. New fear unlocked. Thank you. That's just terrifying. Appreciate that.
Right?
Good. Well, not about you dying, but me having to see you being killed. That's the fear. That's terrifying.
I think I'd fight back enough. I don't know.
You'd be a fighter.
I think it'd be pretty hard to kill me. When my adrenaline kicks in.
That mother poodle bite instinct comes out.
I could lift a car off a child. Maybe not. I don't think I'd want to save a child that much.
But definitely a daddy.
Yeah. Probably a daddy. Or maybe someone, I knew someone made the best cakes.
Okay. All right. Well, y'all, he's allowed to say it because Poodle's in New York right now. He just celebrated your birthday, and you had cake yesterday.
I did have cake. We went to a restaurant near here that was okay. I just basically said, I don't want to go to any place that's fancy because I don't want to do that kind of New York experience. I just want somewhere where like local people, let's just like do a local thing. And we went to a restaurant. It was fine. But I'm like, I kind of wish I'd asked to go somewhere fancy now.
I shit the bed on that one.
I know. I kind of wish I had opted for something nicer.
This is good.
But they said, do you want a dessert here? I'm like, and my friend said, there's a milk bar like 3 blocks down.
Yeah.
And milk bar has really good cake. And they have really good birthday cake.
Very good birthday cake.
So I got a slice of that and a piece of milk bar pie to eat today.
Which is delicious.
It's very, very good.
It's very good.
And they used to call it crack pie, and they realized that might be slightly insensitive.
Because people are on crack.
But I had a very good birthday. I have a lot of Broadway corners to share. I had time with friends.
Which they've already heard, the Broadway corners, by the time this airs.
Well, I hope you enjoyed them. By the way, if you think this being like year four or five, if you think that is finally going to wear it, that I'll get used to that.
Both of us, that really we'll know either of what us. Day, think again.
That's never going to stop happening.
Unless we have a PA named Gary or somebody with a sign in front of me saying today
this is the day.
It's supposed to be Wednesday.
And you I'll have to know. Hold it, and they have to hold it up the whole time. They won't be able to like put it on a wall. They need to hold it and yes. use it and shake it back and
shake
forth.
Shake it like a protest sign all the time.
Yeah, that's the only way I'm going to see it.
Only way I'm going to see it. Look. I'm not a savant of rap music, but I would say this ain't good.
It's not that it's particularly awful. It's just that I feel like he's trying to be in this kind of flow where he's, but it's not really good. It just turns out sounding corny.
Corny, and it's almost like indicative of everything about River where... I don't know if it's always that he's high. I don't know what it's, but River, his affect is like River never gets intense. He never gets excited. He never gets. Yeah.
Which is why he's not great for reality TV.
And why he's not a great rapper, because you need someone that brings, well, to anything like that, but you need an artist who kind of brings all of himself to that moment to put you there.
You need, if you don't have intensity, you need specificity. And you need someone who can express themselves.
Well, but she parts her hair down the middle. How more specific do you want, Poots?
Well, I think you need, there's a certain quality that he needs that it's just not present. And it happens in all of his, like, in the moments. It's just like, either he doesn't have enough to get through those moments, or he's just not good at explaining them. Mm-hmm.
Well, clearly too, because when they have their breakup, he kind of has no words. But
this is the thing about River. I don't think anything has ever really been expected out of him.
No, I think so really, too.
Yeah, and so he's really never had to do anything or to try.
To try because, well, let's just jump into it. We'll talk about him first. Y'all, this is The Family, Chantel, Season 3, Episode 11, My Other Family.
My Other Family, which you have experience with in your family where someone had another family.
Yes, my father. Yes. Met my Aunt Donna. My Aunt Donna looks just like my Aunt Darla. Which is very weird.
Oh, the irony.
It is irony.
I'm going to say, oh, the ironing. Oh. My notes app always says ironing for some reason instead of irony. Oh, the ironing.
I've seen them maybe once. I haven't talked to them a lot, but.
Maybe you could form some type of new. No. Family.
No. I don't want to.
I think you've got
it. It's going to open up some Oklahoma shit. You know, I'm lucky that my immediate family, but also like all my cousins and my uncles and my aunts on both sides, none of us have a kind of a, none of us had to deal with poverty. They did growing up, but we didn't. So we also never dealt with poverty. We never dealt with a lot of drugs. Maybe some drinking here and there, but.
Well, boy, sounds nice.
New family had a different. We were, my family, to put it in perspective.
Your family was.
My family was Pedro One's family.
Yes.
And my other was more Pedro Two's because that's what I wanted to ask you too. We were calling Pedro, our Pedro that we know of, Pedro Chantel, Pedro One, but. He's the younger Pedro, so therefore, is he Pedro too?
I think he's 2.5.
We don't know. He could be Pedro 4.
I think Pedro 3 would be the son of Pedro 2. So maybe he's Pedro 2A.
Summer 1 and Summer 2. That's true as well. Though if you count the first Pedro, then he would be Pedro 3.
2A.
2A.
Yeah.
I'm confused. What day is it again?
No, because Pedro 3 would be the third. So it would need to be the son of Pedro 1 or Pedro 2. This is an adjacency.
There's a lot of fucking Pedros. That's all we know, y'all. Okay, let's talk about River first, since we already were bringing him up, and we'll kind of. But Poodle, as a songwriter, you've written songs. Have you ever written and then had a song played for someone that you wrote about, and then they broke up with you?
I think this was a miscalculation. You never want. Because then it's always going to feel like maybe they didn't like my song and that wasn't enough. People, if you're writing this and you, if you are someone who writes or creates, you know that we as creative people, have most of the time kind of have a little bit of unhealthy attachment to what we make. And it starts let's say feel a little too much like ourselves. And this would be for me pretty crushing, and I don't know if I would keep writing.
This would be it. Even when he said, "Did you like it?" And she's like,
Yeah,
he's like, "That's kind of delayed."
Sure, it's nice.
It's real nice. She actually looks either distraught or just, she's so busy. She looks tired. She's got bags under her eyes. Like
I think she's very tired. She just looks strung out like a Waffle House waitress.
Yeah.
Like she's got a lot, like when you see a Waffle House waitress, you're like, you got a lot of problems you're not telling people. You got a lot of things holding you up.
The things underneath.
Yeah. You got a lot of things you're dealing with. A
lot happening in that closed waffle iron in the heart. That really wasn't
closed waffle iron.
That wasn't a good analogy. Now I want a waffle.
In the closed waffle iron that was her heart.
That was her heart.
In the hash browns that had not been smothered or covered for a long time.
Why did you say hash browns?
I do love Waffle House hash browns.
They're really good. Sorry, we're going to give people food issues, but they are very good. So she's hearing this song and he's playing it for, and she's like, it's a little bit overwhelming. And, you know, because sometimes it's like he puts these emotions in this music, but. And then I felt like she wanted to say to the camera, but have you seen him? He never fucking says anything. Like, that's what she said, it much more PC than that. But you could tell she was like, the fuck?
Well, I think she went in there to have a conversation with him that this is that we need to step back and we can be casual, possibly. Or maybe, but basically, y'all, she went in there because that thing about her not showing up pissed her off. And so she rage drove to Atlanta.
Like Cruella DeVille in Georgia.
Yeah, she rage drove. Mm-hmm. And she was going there to say, hey, it really pissed me off that you accused me of not showing up. Because I'm in school. I have a job. I have a child. I'm working.
Cadence, whatever her kid's name is.
Or Cameroon.
Or Camera. Why did somebody just name their kid Camera with all these cams? Just name
I
them
have
Camera.
I have a feeling it's Cameron, but I would prefer Camera. Kamakanek, anything is better.
Kalachi.
the Polish pastry. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I do think you're right. I think maybe she thought, I'm going to give it to him. And then she heard that song and she was like, oh,
this is bad. Yeah. I think it wasn't, it was that. And she basically, I think she's tired. I think she realized that dating a 23-year-old is a bad idea. Because this is, I've said this before, she has no business dating someone who can't, this is going to sound like I'm saying that she needs to use wealthier older men, but that's basically what I'm saying.
Considering the source.
But that's basically what I'm saying, because she doesn't need to date anyone who can't upwardly increase her mobility with her child.
Or
full stop.
Or she could date someone that's kind of around her age range, maybe that doesn't have a kid or does, and they could, you know, build a life together.
Nope. Okay. Nope.
Okay.
If you're a younger woman and you got boobs like that,
well, that's true. That's true. That's true.
This is ludicrous that we're even talking about it. She doesn't need to find someone her own age. She's got that kind of half porny look.
She does. She does.
She needs to fuck an older guy.
So y'all, the producer steps out and they sit and talk, and that's where she says, she basically says, she's like, I love that you're so inspired and you're so focused on me. But she basically,
and that scares the shit out of me.
That scares the shit out of him. I mean, because what she needs to say to him, but she won't, it's none of her, it's kind of not her business, but he doesn't have a life. He doesn't do anything.
Nope.
Like, and you, I think you brought up a great point. A lot's not expected of him. So she brings up, well, when you brought that comment about not hanging out, that really hurt me. And to River responds, and what'd you think of this? Because River says, well, yeah, I did say that to her, but I apologized in the moment. And then she accepted the apology.
She said she
forgave
me.
So now it feels like she's holding it over my head. I didn't get that. I feel like it was still affected her.
Here's the problem.
It made her realize.
You said it. And even
once
though,
you say shit, you can say you're sorry, but it's out there.
And it doesn't matter how you feel about it. And how, but it matters. You can't change how she feels about what you said. Regardless if she forgave you, it meant something to you at the time. It was truth about how you were feeling. And she knows he feels that way because it's not been the first time he's said it. Mm-hmm. And that's why this idea of, but you told me you forgave me. It's still how she feels, dumbass.
And people can forgive you and still have feelings about being hurt.
That just shows you he sees this as a binary. He's a child.
He's a child.
He's 23 years old. He's a child.
They kind of don't come to an impasse, but she just says, wherever it's like, well, she says the whole, I think we're in different places. And he's like, oh, I don't want to burden you. And she's like, I have a lot going on in my mind right now.
I've got a lot going on. Little cam drop is.
Cam drop.
It's just a handful still.
Oh, God. I mean, you haven't seen a child as wild as kumquat.
Little carabiner is always just around my feet.
I don't know what I'm going to do. And so she says, and she basically says, I'm not in a space where I can be in a relationship because I don't have the time. And I don't know if River still gets it, but then I was surprised the producers gave them the space that they go by the, y'all, because we've all had a breakup standing by a car.
I still don't know why they used this shot. It was confusing to me on the watch along, but the camera was like 20 feet back, and she was almost all the way obscured by like a Dodge minivan. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you only saw his floating head. Mm-hmm. And it was so weird.
I think they wanted to hide from cameras, or she did probably.
That's probably.
Or maybe River did.
But honey, this is a reality show.
Maybe he did. Maybe, because I'll be honest, y'all, I'm going to say it. She is old enough to know better with this whole thing.
Still too young to care. But she's got little Coheed and Cambria at home.
Yeah, she's got to deal with Cocoon. And Y'all, she wanted to be on a reality show.
100%.
100%. So she probably would have done the breakup on the reality show. I think River
that's probably
was
a good
the
point.
One that
that's
was like,
point.
I feel shamed and stupid, and I don't want
tell.
This on camera.
I think he said, I was completely caught off guard. That's how...
Whoa, I did not expect this.
That's how completely non-intuitive this person is.
That's...
And unprepared for life.
You know, I'm not sure about a lot of things, but one thing I'm sure of, River does not know how to read the room.
No.
He is not intuitive. That is so correct.
I don't think he has a lot of exposure. This is how we raise our straight men. With not having to do a lot.
Oh no, we're on a straight men rant.
Well, it's because we, especially the younger boys, we tell them they're the best boy. And they don't ever have to work that hard to get our approval. Mm-hmm. They don't ever have to put themselves in a position of, how am I going to negotiate here with the opposite sex? Mm-hmm. How do I negotiate this? How do I try to intuit what this female person is feeling? I don't have to, because it's just assumed that the woman is going to work around the male feeling.
Especially in the South.
Exactly.
Especially where we're from. In Atlanta, yeah. For sure. I mean, we
so
see that
so he's never
with,
had to do it.
We see that with... what's his name? The human
use
embodiment of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. The way, like, the lumbering guy. The
what
older
show?
Brother. Royal.
Oh, Royal.
We see it with Royal. The way he, like, they
there's
placated
that's true.
Him.
There's something wrong with him, though. Like, something is dark in him.
Oh.
Like.
100%, but the family refuses to see it.
Yeah.
Anyway. Y'all, they're donezo. Producer even says, like, you know, in River... Ask River about it. River says, you know, I think I like her a little more than she likes me. And it's not a good feeling. And he's like, but I'm not hurt, but I'm a little hurt. Yeah, I'm a little hurt, but I'm not. Am I hurt? This man needs to sort some things out.
He doesn't know because he's never been expected to do any self-reflection.
He does. He does.
Yeah.
By
and
the way,
so
I really wanted to, as you were talking just now, I wanted to say, poodle behind you. Just to prank you, but I couldn't do it.
And there's someone in a scream mask.
just to see what you would do, but I didn't. I don't have anything more about them, do you?
No, I don't either.
Let's talk about...
Megan, it was a fun couple episodes.
Yeah.
I still think you have a future on, like, the lower tier version of OnlyFans, whatever that is.
Mm. Only one? I don't know. I don't know.
Just anyway. For fans. I think that there's OnlyFans and there's also just for fans.
Well, we wish her and Caramel the best.
Camrose
uh-huh. The best. But now, y'all, it's a beach day. This beach be beaching.
Oh, it's time for the beachiest beach day ever. Oh, and my favorite moment is, but like I said, Chantel, none of this is your business. Oh, how beautiful. And then when the mixed drinks show up, someone suggested that there should be, and I've been thinking about it ever since, I think it was in the Patreon comments, someone suggested that there should be, in the Patreon comments or the Facebook group, that there should be a framed portrait of Karen on the stage at our live shows. And I kind of think there should,
I
like
fully
in a hat.
That. Uh-huh. Yeah, and that Karen
maybe black
Diego
and white.
Hat.
Yeah, maybe black and white or glamour shot ish.
We could do that kind of black Folsom looking one for San Francisco.
Yes, I really do think she is something that she is a spirit that kind of hangs in the air.
Yeah,
like the portrait of Miss Julie's father.
She's always yes. Wow. And he's so gay. Jake wrote a musical about
some literary person. Someone studied Strindberg just screamed and drove off the road.
Drove off the road. I support this. I like it. We don't get much of her this episode. It's more just all Pedro and a little bit of Chantel and his mom. But I will say, again, Karen,
she's got good ideas here.
She still, you know, she said, well, clearly, you know, Chantel says later in this episode, she's like, I don't want Pedro to hate his mother. Yeah, I think you do, honey.
You do. You do. You absolutely do.
I think you do.
Don't be disingenuous.
Even Karen says about Lydia when Chantel's trying to throw her under the bus, and Karen says, well, maybe she's embarrassed by what happened.
Yep.
And then
that's dead on. She feels, you know what it is? It's more than embarrassed. She feels it's her pride. She feels like someone threw her out and rejected her, and she can't handle that.
No, well, again, she's a bit self-centered. So you're either for Lydia
just
or you're
bit.
Against her. Just to
just
get
a
when
bit.
You got that narcissism that they're all against her or he's against her. I love too that now, granted, she's been busy raising Jaws' child, but Winter, just in a moment of revelation, finally gets it. She went, oh, you guys. Wait a minute. If he is a Pedro and his brother's a Pedro and his dad's a Pedro, that would be really hard.
And Chantel just goes, yeah. and Karen goes, yes.
Yes.
And like, and they're basically just kind of go, how long do we have to like let her sit in this revelation so we can just move on?
And it's ironic because we think Winter is probably the smartest one of all of them. Well, I don't know. Chantel's pretty smart too.
Well, again, I think Chantel is the smartest one. I really do believe that. Mm. I think that they've been just like Karen.
Mm-hmm.
They've been kind of rewarded for coming up with halfway cogent things to say. And when they do come up with something, they're like, oh, that's it. You know, it's kind of amazing. They don't have a lot of inner critics, this family.
No.
Which I think is a wonderful way to grow up. But I will say, it does, having an inner critic does prevent you from maybe making a big deal out of something when it's not even a great statement they just came up with.
Yeah, it can offer it's a double-edged sword because it can offer some self-reflection or introspection, but then when there's like it too much of it, then it can be debilitating.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that with some people.
Yeah, yeah, not us. Not familiar.
No, not at all. It's not something I deal with on a daily basis.
I mean, well, speaking of self-reflection and introspection, I mean, the poor Pedro, the up and down, the roller coaster ride of emotions that this man experiences this episode is, it's riveting to watch, and it's also horribly, you just feel for the guy so much.
This is an entire Arthur Miller play in 45 minutes for Pedro. Three acts. Yeah. We're talking three acts here.
It is. So
I just saw a three act play on Saturday called The Hills of California, and I will talk about it. And it was a complete roller coaster.
Oh, would you like it?
I loved it.
Oh, good. The Hills of California.
It's set in England. Blackpool. It's a long story.
I don't like it that the name is misleading.
Well, it's not. The you're wondering why it's called The Hills of California, but you find out after a while.
Okay.
So it actually is perfect.
I need something. Tell me what it is. Like, if you wrote a play about your life, it would need to just call it Slut. Then we know. Like, just
Slut.
Do it. Yes. Like, if I wrote a play about my life and I called it Nine, that's not, yes, that's an important part of the story, but that's not.
But, well, your title should be provocative, and I believe your title should not tell you everything.
Oh, well, mine would just be called Pleasing People. All right.
Love me.
Yeah, that's it.
Love me.
So
please.
please. So
that's fine if you don't.
That's fine. But
can I do something to help you?
It'll be great. Can I help that?
So Pedro is meeting his brothers.
Okay, just get it out.
I'd fuck Junior in a second.
Yeah, he's cute.
Even
I
though
like
he
the bald
said,
head.
Even though he's, I heard like children on the line. I prefer to think of them his not his children. Okay, because he's gay. Junior had a little bit of a.
He didn't.
Junior.
He didn't. He didn't, but sure. Whatever you want to see. But he had nice arms and pretty eyes.
Junior and Jonathan and the brothers basically say, hey, with Dad, we just never knew. We knew never to talk about this subject because we did find out about you. It was very painful. And they're actually very sad. They're like, where's Nicole? We thought she was coming. He's like, we didn't have sisters growing up. And he's like, yeah, she's And Pedro kind of says, yeah, she didn't want to meet you. That's not what she wants to do right now.
I think that's good for him to be honest so they know where she's at. Also, they don't realize they dodged a bullet.
Agreed.
She would have made this meeting
so terrible. She would have made it a mess.
She would have made it a mess, started screaming, fighting, crying.
She would have. There would have been a gnashing of teeth.
Yes. It was just at one point, she would just be chawing on the table like a rabid dog.
Pedro tells the story of how his mother met their father, and the father, Pedro Jose Sr., said, I don't have a family or children, and when he met Lydia, and then I realized this must be hard for the brothers to hear that their father denied them.
Oh, yeah.
So not only is the
and
father...
And also cheated on their mother.
Exactly. So they know about that, but just hearing that my father told another woman that he wanted to have sex with and father children with that I have no children.
Yeah.
That's got to hurt. I thought he might be more, but Lydia said, he said that he was that way. And I don't think Lydia would have gotten initially with a married man. I think that they just needed to lie.
I don't think she would have either.
Yeah.
I mean, but maybe because her father did that and she says that's what people do. But I do agree with you. I think that
she's more pragmatic than that. Even as a child, Lydia was more pragmatic.
Well, there's a part of me that wants to believe, y'all, we got a hint of who Pedro's grandmother really is. And y'all, Lydia is the way she is because of her mother. Because I think her mother was pretty terrible to her. I don't know, but there's a part of me that says Lydia possibly wanted to change that. But then maybe she thought she was like, met this guy. And then once she had the baby, she was like,
Here, I want to follow up with that. This is interesting. You brought that up. But Pedro's like, I don't want to be disrespectful to you guys, and they're like, no, this is history. It's okay. And the father did give them money, and he said a year after I was born, he told Lydia that he did have a wife, but he wanted to leave her, and for that reason, my mother decided to have Nicole. And then Junior said, but he didn't live with you. How would he explain his not being there? And he's like, traveling for work. And they're like, yep, that's exactly what he told us. And Pedro then says, I never saw him because mom would say, go to your room. And I thought about this and I said, this makes sense in Lydia's mind because she now knows after Pedro was kind of aware enough to know, kind of born, he was 2 years old when Nicole was born. And now she knows that he has another family. And there's, I think, sending them to the room was a way of protecting them. Because she knew, even if he did want to have a relationship, it would be confusing to the kids. If there was a father, and it'd be easier
and
to tell them their
father
was a piece of shit.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
It almost feels, it, of course, Lydia has changed in her mind to saying, I did that to protect you. But in a way, it feels like she was keeping her children from all this mess.
Grandma Hazel never would let her kids see their dad, ever.
Yeah.
Once he left, he was out.
And it's interesting that...
Well, also, I think there was a restraining order after the chili can with his girlfriend. So maybe that was a reason to...
The great chili can restraining order.
I don't know what episode that was, y'all, but y'all can listen to it. I forget. Somebody can tell you in the Facebook group.
I wish there would have been video footage when I first heard the story of the chili can assault. When the fact that... And I, for some reason, asked, what kind of chili was it? And you said, it was probably Hormel.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
Anyway. Long and the short of it, y'all, Grandma Hazel went to the girlfriends of her husband and hit her in the head with a chili can.
Hit her on the chin.
Thank you. The other question I had is, did she grab the can before leaving the house, or did she find it there?
No. She grabbed the can. It was premeditated. She grabbed the can, told all the kids to get in the Pontiac, and the kids were in the back seat, and they watched her rip the screen door off and then beat the shit out of this woman in the front yard.
With a chili can.
With a chili can.
Anyway. So... What I was talking about this is, it's an interesting concept for Lydia to say, nope, you're not gonna be around my kids, and I'm going to be the go between. And it was interesting that Chantel said, why did she say if you don't want to know my kids, you're not gonna be coming into my house? I don't think that's what Lydia was going for. She didn't want him to, and probably he said he didn't want to know. The kids.
Yeah, he doesn't care about the kids. And I mean, this is a guy that says, never tell them, but maybe they'll come to my funeral. What an asshole.
Well, what's interesting here is, and Chantel was thinking, why would she stay with him? Why would she still have him in the house? Honey, because he was giving her money.
She needed him to. That's
the privilege part that Chantel will never understand.
Or she maybe understands it, and we'll talk about that. But wants Pedro to understand, but we'll finish. But yeah, that's a whole of it. But
see, she's trying, she would disparage that. She was just staying with your father for money, and Pedro would say, but that's how we got money. So that's what I'm saying. It's still coming from privilege.
Yeah, she doesn't see it as, she sees it as a negative thing when he's like that, but
that's how we survived.
Yeah,
that's how we had money.
Yeah, we're going to talk about her later. So anyway, they talk about, you know, how he traveled. And then Pedro, you know, and the brothers are being great. They even say, like, you know, he was always present for us and strict. But he was, they said, an exemplary father. And you kind of see Pedro get that kind of beast-stung face. And you see tears in his eyes. And the brothers say, we know that this is painful, but that's the dad we
That's the dad we had.
And we feel sad for you.
And in the next breath, he goes, how'd you find out? He's like,
Pedro asked them. Pedro 3 asked Pedro 2, how did he find out that Pedro 1
I would prefer 2B. Pedro 2B.
I think it makes it more confusing.
But 3 would be the third. 3 would be the son.
Just keep going.
So Pedro 2B. And says, how did you know? And he's like, it was destiny. And there's like a stinger in the music.
It was.
And it says, I was going through papers and I found a torn up letter and I put it back together. This is telenovela shit.
This is some poodle shit.
I would oh my God, I would have loved to find among my mother's things, a torn up letter.
Do you have any torn up letters you've kept just to keep?
Honey, I don't write letters or receive them. I changed my address.
Oh.
And I leave no forwarding.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'm like Lydia. When I'm done, I'm done.
Well,
and you will never see me again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just try to find me. So it said, you never go visit your kids. And that was the interesting thing. And that was, and then I was, this is at, on the second watching, because we watched it. And I said, Lydia would have never written that note. She didn't want him to see her kids.
No, she didn't. And, but it's,
the this thing, is another woman, y'all.
Y'all, the irony, in, it's Shakespearean. I mean, like you said, yeah. It's it is so theatrical, because Pedro's, and what you see, Pedro's face, relief just floods over his face. And in his talking head, he says, I've got to tell my mother my sorry.
He's like,
I'm so happy right now. And I thought, oh, is this about your father, or is this... do you see, because Chantel talks about it later, and I think there's some truth to what Chantel is saying. Is it because you don't know for sure if your mother actually loves you?
That's exactly it. And if you're a mistake or not.
And that's what you needed to know, is that your mother actually loved you and fought for you in
that
you
felt. That's all he needed.
Y'all, this isn't about his father at all. It's about his relationship with his mom.
Yep. Yep. And thinking the term, am I a mistake, means did my mother and father love each other and I was conceived in love? And number two, does my mother actually care about me? Yeah.
Sit with that.
It's
a horrible thing to sit with, but... Anyway, he is happy, and they even say, you know, if you want, here's Pedro One's phone
Pedro
number.
Pedro One's, number.
And you can call him Tubi. 2.5?
Tubi. Pedro Tubi. It's like apartment Tubi, that store. So y'all, Pedro's like, this is the most perfect day ever. What could go wrong? Here's the first wrong part. He tells Chantel about the meeting of the brothers.
I'll tell you what goes wrong.
And he tells her about the letter, and she's like, oh. And he's like, guess what, Chantel? I don't have to blame my mother anymore. It wasn't her fault. And Chantel goes, what? Well, I know it's hard for you to blame your mom, but she did a lot of other stuff. And that's just when I went, Chantel, this is when you just need to listen and let it roll over you, because in literally, he's going through so much right now. He's going to hit the next crest of the wave and be in the trough of the wave, and you're going to have to pick him up.
Yep.
And this is a good thing, y'all. Imagine, like, if you're having a relationship, if your husband is having problems with his mom, and you want to go in there and dig in and just really gimme and gin up bad energy, hold back, I promise, because she's going to get there. She's going to show her ass some more.
This sounds hold personal. Back. Maybe you've had an experience of where you had to bite your tongue.
Hold back, I'm telling you. It will be better for you. Or it's kind of like when you had that friend who's got the shitty boyfriend, and they're like, that's it for we're blah, blah, blah. We're done. Just hold back, because it's going to be different, and like their relationship changes day to day. He's going to show his ass again. You don't need to convince her of anything. Just be there to listen.
I understand. I think for Chantel, I do think she says in her talking head, she says, I wonder, well, first of all, to Pedro, she brings up, well, she was sending to his room, and she brings that up, and Pedro immediately says, so you want to blame my mom? And Chantel says, no, she's like, I just hope, which this is a fair statement to say, but still not the right time. She's like, I just hope she doesn't laugh at you and demean you.
Yeah. She cares about Pedro, so she's trying to get him to stand up for himself.
And Pedro says, you don't have empathy. You don't have... Yeah. I actually think Chantel does. I think... I do see... I agree with you. This is the wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
I think Chantel actually has empathy and a lot of love for Pedro. And hitting her talking head, she says this, and honestly, I understand why she says it, and I kind of agree with her when she says, I wonder if they see him as a brother and a son with feelings, yeah, or if he's just someone to give them money, because they're never there for him when he needs them most. That's a fair statement.
Yeah. Chantel has empathy for people who are in her immediate family and tribe.
And he's in that. He's in that.
And now he is in that.
I think she almost sees this as like a... It's like that moment in, I don't know, in like in Lord of the Rings when Frodo and
please no more Lord of the Rings references.
Oh, I just finished it. It's so good this season.
Oh, I need to.
Good. But you know, when Frodo and his friend Samwise Gamgee are on the Mount of Mordor, and before, I can't do the voice today, I'll start coughing. But when they do that, and Frodo is like, wait a minute, do I want to keep the ring? Chantel is Samwise Gamgee telling Frodo to go on to throw that ring, meaning his mother, in that hot lava.
She so thinks this is the ring. Lydia to push Lydia into Mordor.
Lydia's the ring, and Nicole
Gollum
is Gollum. Yes, 100%. Because Nicole catches that ring as it goes down in that lava and goes down with it burning. That is these two. But I do think Chantel, it's short-sighted, but she thinks this is the only chance I'm going to have to get him to see this.
Yeah.
But it's the wrong time.
By the way, it is Gamgee with an M.
What did I say?
Gamgee.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Even I knew that, and now I'm not even a Lord of the Rings person.
Are you?
I'm actually not. No. I've never read all the books.
You've never done any type of elven role play with someone?
No, I've never read any of those books.
So you've never read someone who looked like Orlando Bloom as Legolas. You've never done that role play.
I don't have that kink. Surprisingly, that is not one of the
kinks.
I'm
not saying you have that kink, but someone you were with had that kink.
No. I haven't been with a lot of nerds.
You never held someone's dick in a cock ring and said from the inside of your butthole, my precious?
Nope. It's not really my thing.
Don't know if I believe it, but we're going to keep going.
Sounds like it is someone's thing, though.
Well.
So he's going to go see Lydia to apologize, y'all.
Yes.
And she shows up, and she's like, what do you want? He's like, what's up with the attitude? This is the one I always have. So her reception, he's like, I saw the brother. He's like, oh, it's perfect. Yay. So happy for you. Just still being super shitty.
So shitty.
He's like, so they told me about a letter you wrote, father. And she went, I don't know. I didn't send any letter. No, I did not do that.
And she, because not only does she say it like that, but she goes,
she laughs. She laughs.
I didn't send a letter.
And he's like, the last time I had contact with him was March of 2010, and he gave me 5,000 pesos, and since then, no contact.
No contact.
Because I let it go. Because when I'm done, I'm done. I don't chase people. I'm a proud woman. They don't, you know. And that's when the jump that Pedro makes here, and that's why I talked about this idea of the being a mistake last week, because this is personal for him, because in his feelings, if he wasn't conceived in love, he is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said before, and I'm so glad you guys, some of you reached out and said thank you for saying it, or just thanks for articulating and bringing it up and hoping people either born out of wedlock or things like that, sometimes they think they believe they're a mistake. And someone wrote me and said, my mother told me I was a mistake, like at a drunken bar. And I was just like,
I wish parents would just say, you were a wonderful surprise.
Yeah. Or say, I'm
like
just
Pedro
so happy.
Happy just lie I have to me. You. Pedro says, literally, why couldn't she have just lied to me?
And she said, he said, did you love him? Yes or no? And
she's like, he said, yes. And he's yes, no, say it. Yes, no.
And she's like, no. And then at this point, y'all, Lydia just wants to hurt him. And he's like, so we were a mistake. She's like, exactly.
And then Carmina Burana just starts playing in Pedro's head.
That's kind of what it is.
Because he goes
down to his, like, God damn it, y'all. He is spiraling. And the weirdest thing is that moment happens in reality television when you forget the cameras are there. And it's so in your own world. You get to know these camera people. You get to know all the production.
Yeah.
So then you start talking to them. And the weirdest thing is the audience starts to feel like this person's talking to us. And it is a moment in reality television you always look for. And this was the end of this episode. And it's kind of took your breath away.
It was this kind of, the only thing I can relate to it is like when this kind of animalistic or just guttural pain that he's trying not to let unleash. It was really, like you said, it was very hard to watch. And he calls the brother horrible.
And they don't have the letter anymore. Letter had no names. I really do believe it was another woman. There are probably two other women.
Oh, there's probably several.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be like my dad found out he had 17 siblings in Alabama. Because his dad had other families.
17?
That's what they said.
So y'all have never looked any of them up?
No, because my dad, the Mars are from, well, part of the Mars, but part of, I think on his mom's side, so I don't know the maiden name, but they're all from like Mobile.
It's a really good thing you don't have children because you would have to do genetic testing to make sure that whoever you were.
Look, I'm kind of glad me and 23 is going under because I did it years ago when it was, now it's like falling apart. But every time I get an email that says, you have a new relative, I go, oh God, oh God. I'm glad my dad never did it.
Oh my God.
That's the show. That's the show.
Yeah, if you were going to have children, you need to make sure that you weren't fucking your first cousin.
Yes. Well, so next week, next episode will be the finale of The Family Chantel. We're going to talk to Mary, Sissy Detective.
To see if there's anyone we need to know.
Well, she's going to do her thing, but I'm saying I don't know if it's going to be – it might even be its own special episode because Mary, Sissy Detective sometimes gives us like 30 minutes worth of information.
Yeah, we'll have to see what she's got.
So
she's got for us.
But y'all, it's going to cover – so try to refresh yourself in the next coming weeks. It's going to cover the first three seasons of Family Chantel. So people – we haven't maybe seen or heard from. I mean, I think it's going to be, we've already forgot who was in season one besides the family.
I just want Robert Martinelli to show up.
Forgot all about her.
Season four.
Oh, Robert. Maybe she'll be in five. All right, everybody. Because I know that Miss Clackety Clack, the gay, shows up in five.
Oh, really?
Obed is in season five, the last season.
Boy, they just keep bringing back characters. Yeah.
Just a bunch of cockroaches.
Like a soap opera.
All right, everybody. That's it. That's your show for this week.
God, I love Family Chantel.
So good. We were so wrong. It's so good. It is like, I like it even more than Love is Blind, which I'm loving this season.
Wow.
But it's so great.
I think they're very different shows.
But similar. Tyler and Pedro One denying their children.
That's true.
That's right. And I can talk about it because it already aired. Yep. All right, everybody. That's the show. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much for your support. And this is Reality Gaze reminding you what, Poodle?
Don't be stupid. Oh, how beautiful.
That's what I'm saying.